If you would open your Bibles to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. I've been really debating whether I wanted to use the whole chapter, read the whole chapter. Well, no doubt, time permits, I'll refer to all of it. But the book of Ruth is really a very interesting study. Chapter 1 is a lesson in backsliding, and we need that. We need to understand that backsliding is serious. People used to say to me sometime, you'd go see them, talk to them, well, I'm just a little backslid. I'd be careful about bragging about that. God takes backsliding seriously, because backsliding of His children is disobedience. And we find that in the first chapter, that Elimelech and Naomi and their two boys decided that they was going down into Moab. That was a bad decision. But you know, a lot of Baptists sometime will decide that they're going back to the world for a while. That's a bad decision. That's what Moab's a picture of. And so we'll begin reading. Now, of course, if you go through the whole book, then the second chapter you get into the return. And then you get into them being restored, and of Elimelech's heritage being the kinsman redeemer bringing it. But I don't have time or the wisdom either to preach that I should. But I want to use this first chapter, because you all are here at Olmsted. You're getting ready for revival services, and I hope you have revival, and I'd like to be in on it myself. But I'll probably be in northern Michigan at that time. And I'm thankful for the effort. But the problem is, revival's like the weather. We talk about it and do nothing. We sometimes make fairly good plans for the physical end of it. But we don't do much about the heart. The Bible said the backslider in heart. See, backsliding's a heart matter. In Proverbs 14:14, you read that. Said the backslider in heart. You don't backslide outwardly until you've already backslid inwardly. And you know what? It's very easy to go on with our duty and everything and forget about the need of returning to the Lord. And so, the first chapter is a chapter of backsliding, where Elimelech and Naomi and their boys left Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah was their place of service. That's where their heritage was. And folks, every member, I don't know how many members you have here now, but every member, when they leave the church to go do something else, are backsliding. Now, there are things sometimes that you have to take care of, and there was provisions made for that even under the law. I mean, the ox, you didn't leave your ox in the ditch and all of that. But on the other hand, we should never just go away from the church to something else, because when you do that, you backslid. And so that's what we want to talk about. So Ruth chapter 1, let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful this morning for the Word of God. The older I get and the more times that I survey my life and I survey the wondrous cross on which the Savior died for me, Lord, I'm glad you helped me to come see that the atonement is a direct personal atonement. Christ not only died for sinners, but He died for me. And the more I realize that, the more thankful I become. In other words, I wasn't just included in a general atonement. I was included in a specific atonement. When He was on the cross, He is there for me. When He rose again, He was there. He rose for me. It's a personal thing. Lord, help us to see that the atonement was made for us individually. So bless hearts this morning. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, now it came to pass You know, I'm kind of like the old black preacher was. He said, I'm glad that's in the Bible. Some things you're glad when they pass. And so this. So it said, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Now that's highly instructive right there. You don't need to run over that. You remember what the days of the judges were when they ruled? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That sounds a whole lot like today, doesn't it? And so that's not put in. This is part of the inspiration of the Scriptures. In other words, God knew we needed to know that. It's in that time when there was there was no king, meaning there was no law. And so therefore, everyone just chose to do whatever he wanted to. And that's what we are today. That there was a famine in the land. What else could you expect? And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Now you notice something here. Not only is the day that judges ruled and everyone did that which is right in his own eye, but there was a famine. What else could you have? Folks, all these things we've enjoyed all of my life, plenty of food and all of this, this is coming to an end. Why? Because as a nation, we sinned against God. And you don't ever get by with it. Somebody said, I don't know why God hasn't done. I'll tell you why he didn't, because he's sovereign. He does it at his own time. But don't ever think. Somebody said, I don't see how they can get by with abortion. They're not getting by with it. There's a day when God's going to call them to record on it. Somebody said, I don't understand all this same-sex business. I'll tell you what, there's coming a day when God's going to deal with that. Nothing can be any plainer than that God made Adam, and when Adam needed a helpmeet, he made Eve. And he joined them together in holy matrimony. And the Bible said to have anything else is an abomination before God. Somebody said, I just don't see how they're getting by with it. They're not. These 50-something million babies that's been aborted, if that's a figure, you might want to tell you every last one of them is a creation of God. And when you kill a baby like that, that's murder. Amen. And it's most aggravated sort of murder because you're killing one that has no defense. Amen. Somebody said, I believe it's the lady's choice. No, I don't think it's the lady or the man or anybody else. God has already laid down the law for it. Amen. So somebody said, well, what would you do if it's your daughter? I'd be ashamed, but I'd tell her, have that baby and take care of it and raise it. That's a creation of God that you're carrying around. Of course, now my daughter's too old for that. She's nearly 55. But I got some grandchildren. No, I'd never approve abortion. Well, the doctor said, if you don't do it, you're going to die. Well, that won't be the first person that died giving birth. And I don't mean to be hard-hearted. But no, we need to leave those things in God's hand. And that's why through the years, I've tried to preach and teach the best I could that we ought not tamper with the life cycle. That's God's business. And so now, and the name of the man, now we're in Moab now. That's the world. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came in the country of Moab and continued there. They not only come, but they continued. They went down there with the intentions of going down there and staying. And no doubt the famine had a lot to do with it. And you know, a lot of people have gotten in trouble when they left the place of service where God had put them in order to better themselves economically. Now, when I was a small boy, everybody was heading north to get a job. That's where the jobs were. A lot of my family on both sides went to Detroit and up in that area to get jobs. Some of them did all right, but some of them did it all. They bettered themselves money-wise, but they lost their family. So it's not always, we don't make moves to better ourselves economically. We shouldn't. We ought to make moves whenever God leads us. Why? Because he'll take care of you wherever you are if that's where he put you. So the place where Elimelech and his family was Moab. Oh, they went there, and the Bible said they not only went, they continued there. They went there with the intention of making Moab, because evidently Moab was somewhat prosperous, and they intended to make Moab their place of residence. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Now watch this reading, because I won't have time to read all of it, and then you can read the rest of it when you get home. But he died. What happens? The wages of sin is death. Then it said, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. Here they go violating again. Do you see how careless you get whenever you're backslid? In other words, they took them a heathen wife. Both of them did. And those Moabites were the worst sort of heathens. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpha. The name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the women was left of the woman was left of her two sons and her husbands. Now she begins to hear things and come to her senses. Verse 6 said, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. He always does. You say, it's pretty rough right now. Well, if you walk with God, God's got a provision. If he could bring probably 2 million or better Israelites through the wilderness and provide manna for them every day, 6 days a week they'd go out and gather, and on the sixth day they gathered enough for 2 days to observe the Sabbath. But here you are out in a desert place and you got nothing, but yet every morning they got up and looked around and arrayed that little round thing out there they called manna, and they'd go out and gather. Now they could only gather so much of it. You know, there's some things here that spoke to me and has through the years. God never did let them gather 2 days at a time except the day before the Sabbath. I tell you, if I could just get my savings account a little bigger, it probably wouldn't be good for you. Next thing you know, you'd go depending on that. What are you going to do if you depend on a savings account and the banks go broke? And they're broke now, it's just a matter of declaring it. That's the truth. America's financial system is gone. We need to wake up to it. I'm not talking about quit using it and so on, but we need to wake up to it. It's not security anymore. The dollar is not secure. They could pull the props out from under it any day. So take what God gives you, and we ought to, and be thankful for it, and not be trying constantly to add to this and feeling secure if our bank account gets to some point where we think it's all right. Some of you that's old enough, you think of how many, what you'd call secure jobs, used to be around here in factories and different things, and they're not here no more. They went to South America or somewhere. What I'm trying to say to you this morning, all the security we have is in the Lord.
Amen.
Whenever they got ready to build the tabernacle, did they have to go down and take out a loan? You read Exodus, I think it's about 12. Of course, you go really to Genesis 18 or 15, whenever they God made made Abraham a promise. And you know what he said? He said, your people, your descendants, your posterity is going to be slaves under a cruel government for a number of years. Then will I judge them and bring them out. Now, who ever heard of people being in a slave condition 400 years and coming out wealthy? But God told Moses, said, tell them, get ready to go. I'm going to give them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. Go borrow from them. That don't mean go be dishonest in borrowing, but go to them and they'll give you what you need. And on the night before they left, I can just almost see them. Here's these Jewish women obeying the command there. And probably some of them, their belief was pretty thin. But they went over there to those Egyptians that had been oppressing them, and the Egyptians gave them jewels of silver and jewels of gold and all of that. Just gave it to them. Man, they was filling them bags up and hanging them on their children or whatever they could, and out of there they went. Now, why did he do that? Exodus 25, the Bible said, he said to Moses, take an offering. Take an offering from among the people. I've learned in my ministry and time, if we're willing to wait on the Lord, He will give you what you need. So here they are. There's a tabernacle to be built. And he said, take an offering from me. He told them what kind of offering. And you know what? That offering was so good and went on so long. Finally, Moses had to stay his hand. More than they needed. They couldn't carry it with them. They had no more need for it. What did they need? They needed to be able to build that tabernacle to worship God in. It was a portable tent that they could take with them. I'm saying all of that to tell you, and I know you know it, but we need it rehearsed in our ears. God does provide. There is nothing can stop His plan. I've been in churches when they thought they was going to starve us out. But you know what? They didn't. And those that try find it's not so. Here we find that they left out here, and so they went down there to sojourn in the country of Moab. And the Bible said that the Lord was with them. And finally, Naomi returns. And I want to get in on this pretty good if I can. It said there in verse 6, then she arose, that's Naomi, with her daughters-in-law. Now then, their husband is dead, her husband's dead, and it's left three women, and only two of them are going to go. She might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law and with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. This is repentance. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother. You as he, and the Lord deal with you kindly as he has dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant unto you that you may find rest in the house of your husbands. She kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto the people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Of course, she is referring to the law in Israel of taking up, you know, for the dead. Turn again, my daughters, to your way, and I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown, and stay ye from them for having a husband? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. I'm convinced that Naomi was the backsliding party. Why? Because she takes credit four or five times. She said, the Lord dealt with me. Didn't say He dealt with Elimelech, but He dealt with me. How did He deal with her? He took her husband from her. How did He continue to? He took her two boys. You say, does God do that? He certainly does. It's not a pleasant thought. But I'm telling you, backsliding's serious. Living in Moab is serious. And so here we have them. And you know something else? I heard a preacher, this has been years ago, preach on this along this line. And he was very critical of Naomi for the way she handled those two daughter-in-laws. She said, go back to your gods, back to your people, back to your land. No, she's putting the test to them. See, we don't do that too much anymore. But we think everyone that's coming is sincere. She was testing their sincerity. You know, she said, go back to your people, back to your land, and back to your gods. Moab was an idolatrous place. No, I don't think he was. Think she was. I think she was putting the test to him to find out, are you real? Don't start down to Moab with me if you're not real. And finally, the Bible said in verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Out of the two, only one of them had real faith in Naomi's God. I think they both loved Naomi. I think she was a sweet person. But folks joining a church because you love somebody in there, you love their fellowship and want to be with them, is a poor, poor decision. Amen. And so Naomi knew that. Naomi knew them girls. She'd been watching them for 10 years. And you say what you want to. If we watch people, I'm not talking about to be judgmental and all of that. You can tell a whole lot about a person by what they love. See, this day and time, people don't know the difference in regeneration and conversion. In other words, in regeneration, you are absolutely inactive. You're dead. Dead in sins and trespasses. I used to say in a fellowship meeting sometime years ago, before I understood some of the truths I think I understood, I said, folks, we're not going down to the hospital. I said, we have to go out here to the cemetery. Right. We're dealing with dead people. The Bible said, you that hath he quickened who were dead. Somebody said, that don't mean inactivity. When did death do? It means spiritual inactivity. Absolutely. Now, in conversion, it's different. In conversion, you're active. Because God grants to you repentance and faith. But He does the work of regeneration underneath and beyond your comprehension or mine either. You all following me? I haven't lost you yet. Okay, I didn't think I had. But it's not. See, it makes a difference. Now, let me say this. The three of them, that's regeneration, repentance, and faith, they happen simultaneously. But there's an order to it. Life before activity. In other words, conception has to take place before there's any delivery. In other words, these children I see around here, and that's good to see them. I love to see that because, I'll tell you, I've... These last few years has gone by so fast, I can hardly realize. So I'm glad to see people, still some families, raising children for the Lord. That's good. And so, anyway, on this, that we should bring them up in the fear and the nurture and admonition of God. Husbands and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. See, in discipline, I believe in discipline. We ought to have it. But on the other hand, we should not provoke our children into wrath. And all of us probably have got children reared, have done that. But anyway, so Naomi now is found out, but so in conversion, you have the first act is regeneration, the second act is repentance, turning to God, and the third is believing, and they're all simultaneous. but they're not the same thing. Now, I want to tell you what, there's not a lot of people in the world that believe that. Let me see, I don't go over too long here. It's about the time to quit, but I'm just getting wound up on what I wanted to say. There's a medical doctor who's out of a Baptist church in Texas. I could call his name. Some would probably know him. I'm not going to do that. But I remember talking to him in Cincinnati, Ohio, up at Brother James Love's place in a meeting. And oh, he was fired up because he said, I can't stand these people that believe that regeneration comes before faith. I thought, as a medical doctor, you got a problem. Do you think a baby is born before it's conceived? But that's what he said. I mean, he could grit his teeth almost. And I thought, here's a man that's a missionary, has been for years, writing books, but he don't know that a person's dead in sins and trespasses. Give me a little bit of this water and I'll be done here in a few minutes because it's... But anyway, Naomi, she heard that there was bread up there, so she started to return. She tested her two daughter-in-laws for reality. And she found only one of them had any real love for the God of Israel. So then, finally, Orpha kissed her and wept and left. How many has done that in Baptist churches? Hear the gospel, get a little stirred up. But Satan comes along, snatches the seed out of their heart. Never matures. You find that in the parables. Now then, Naomi and her return back to Bethlehem, Judah. And if you'll notice in those last verses, there, Naomi took all the responsibility for the trip to Moab. Excuse me, my voice is getting a little husky. I love this part of the country, but boy, it's not good this time of the year. If you have allergies, beautiful weather. But anyway, she left, and you notice that Naomi didn't try to stop her? You remember Jesus said to his disciples, when everyone was forsaking him, he said, do you want to go with them? That preacher talked to me like that, and he was hard. He shouldn't have said that way. He should have, too. If you're real, you ain't going nowhere. If God placed you here, and this is Bethlehem, Judah, you better stay put. Just stake out this claim here you got. But she, for about five or six times, she said, the Lord hath dealt with me. It wasn't some kind of an accident. My husband didn't get a hold of bad food. But he disobeyed God. How did he disobey God? Listening to his wife. Nothing in the world better than a good helpmeet for a man that wants to serve God. But there's nothing any worse than when she gets in control. Why? God didn't intend it that way. I've heard people say, well, I believe that woman's smarter than her husband. She might be. But that don't give her any right to try to take over and run. I made it through pretty good. I got to here, and I'm going to have to hurry along here. It's not, no, God intended. And when we observe what God intended for us to have, then we can have some happiness. I preached a message years ago on how to produce Ishmaels. Didn't take much. Just took a healthy young woman and a man. But I'll tell you what, when they brought him forth, he is trouble. And he's still trouble. A lot of that trouble in the Middle East right now is Ishmaelites. So The Bible told him, said, he'll be a wild man. Can you find any wilder people anywhere than they are in that region of the world today? That's where that group is. It's beheading people and putting their pictures on Facebook, was doing it. Now, you talk about rank heathens. What they're trying to do what Genghis Khan did. He really won a lot of his battles because of fear. Fear of his cruelty. And that's why ISIS has gone as long as they have. They're afraid of it. They're afraid of their cruelty. But I never thought a few years ago I'd ever see anything that barbaric in my life. And now we've got television worldwide to see it on. And when you start thinking about that, that starts you really thinking. It does me. I don't know how far that's going to go before God puts an end to it. But I know one thing. We're in their sights. America is hated because of its defense of the Jews for years. But America's blessed because of it. I still believe when he said to Abraham, those that hate thee and fight you, he'd deal with them. I still believe he does. And those that are good to them, he blesses. In 1948, and I'll say this and hush. In 1948, when the Jews under the Balfour Declaration was returning to the Promised Land, the only nation that really protected them was the U.S. When David Ben-Gurion come out and made the announcement that Israel, now it was now the state of Israel, they still haven't been recognized as by the world. Ben-Gurion was the first prime minister. That's 1948. God has blessed America because of that. We've avoided a lot of tragedies that would have come if he hadn't. Blessed be his name. I am for Israel as a nation. I don't approve of everything they do. They're still in rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah, but there's coming a day when they're going to see him and mourn for him as one that mourned for an only son. That day is soon coming. I believe when it comes, we'll be gone. There's going to be a voice going to pierce the ear of all of God's elect. Come up hither. What a glorious day that'd be. Wouldn't it be a nice sunshiny day today? He may do it. I don't know. But he's coming. He's going to do it. I just don't know when. So we're greatly blessed. But I never did really get around. I'm just saying this. We ought to study passages like this and take backsliding seriously. If you're going to have a revival here that you got scheduled, you're going to have to first of all get your own self prepared spiritually. Because backsliding is a heart matter. He told Timothy, he said, Timothy, you give heed to yourself first. Make sure you're right. That's what we have to do before we can help others.